What will this Obamacare cost specifically?
Don't miss the numbers, the news, and Kai's final note. Subscribe to the Marketplace podcast. Find it on iTunes or online at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. Starting next week, federally run exchanges set up under Obamacare will officially roll out in 36 states. And we now have our first detailed look at the premiums to answer the key question, how much? Marketplace's Stacey Vanek-Smith has the story.
The report from the Department of Health and Human Services uses the example of a healthy 27-year-old. He or she would pay $163 a month on average for the basic bronze plan and $240 for the so-called gold coverage, the most comprehensive plan.
I'm actually surprised they're coming in so well. They're very competitive, and they definitely will save consumers money.
J.B. Silvers is a professor at Case Western Reserve University. He says part of the reason for those rates is competition, because insurance companies
have looked at this big block of new business and found it irresistible.
The plan is not without its critics. The Manhattan Institute found that young men will pay nearly double what they would for coverage, and young women 60% more, part of the idea being that young, healthy customers will help subsidize people who have pre-existing conditions and wouldn't be able to get coverage otherwise. In New York, I'm Stacey Vanek-Smith for Marketplace.
Over the past few months, Marketplace has been watching how the Affordable Care Act has been playing out in the city of Camden, New Jersey. And one of the reasons we picked Camden is because of the innovative work that's already gone on there before healthcare reform was even a gleam in President Obama's eye. There's word this morning that one of those innovators, Dr. Jeffrey Brenner, is one of the genius grant winners from the MacArthur Foundation. He organized a system in Camden that actually tracks down the poorest patients who need care. Dr. Brenner, first of all, congratulations.
Thank you.
So tell me about the germ of this idea. Where did it come from?
It came from a very humble origins. We convened a meeting in Camden that we called the Health Provider Breakfast Group. And it was a group of grumpy, frustrated primary care doctors complaining about the healthcare system. And that was 11 years ago.
And ultimately, it's really about delivering healthcare to people's door.
That's right. We have a very passive healthcare system in America. We're phenomenally good at cutting, scanning, zapping, and hospitalizing. But we don't talk to people, and we don't coordinate their care, and they get lost in the healthcare system.
And it's especially challenging pulling that off in a city like Camden?
Ironically, Camden may be the best place in the country to do this because no one is fighting me over more market share. So think about how the American healthcare system works. Hospitals get paid for filling the beds, not for emptying them. So ultimately, keeping people healthy, there's no business model for that.
That said, the model could apply elsewhere.
Absolutely. This is not poverty work. There are people all over the country that have terrible stories about getting lost in the healthcare system. We can separate Siamese twins, we can transplant hearts and lungs, we can cure cancer, but the system's overwhelmingly complicated, and we haven't caught up with that complexity.
As a practical matter, give me a sense of this. Someone who's suffering from a chronic condition, let's say diabetes, who wouldn't get down to the clinic or wouldn't be able to see a doctor, you might be able to identify that person and show up?
Yep. So the way our projects work is we run a health information exchange, which enables us to get data every morning of who's been admitted to the hospital. We send teams right up to the bedside, go to their home within 24 hours of discharge, and then they go with them to their primary care appointment and with them to their specialty appointment. And these are the most costly, most complicated, most extreme patients. 1% of patients in Camden are 30% of the cost. So these are the forgotten people in healthcare that we don't do a good job paying attention to.
Dr. Brenner, before we go, you actually knew secretly that you were going to get the MacArthur for a couple weeks?
It's a hard secret to keep. They call you in the middle of your workday, and it's hard to go back to work after that.
Dr. Jeff Brenner, founder of the Camden Coalition and winner of a MacArthur grant. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Show Marketplace how much you like us. Stay connected to our hosts, reporters, and top stories on Facebook. Find us at facebook.com/APM Marketplace.
There's the impasse over the federal budget, but a potentially more destabilizing problem is the federal debt limit. Truth be told, we poked through the original debt limit months ago, and since then, the Treasury Department has been relying on what it calls extraordinary measures, accounting tricks really, to make sure America can pay its bills. Now, this does not work forever, and Treasury says it'll soon run out of options. But as Marketplace's David Gura reports, predicting the exact moment that'll happen is tough.
Picture a big spreadsheet with what the government owes and what the government is owed. Now, a lot of that is guesswork. Lauren Adler is with the Committee for a Responsible Federal Budget.
The biggest piece of unpredictability is revenues, really. Spending actually is relatively straightforward.
Adler says that while most Americans pay their taxes once a year, in April, some folks pay every quarter.
So it's generally wealthier people who are making these payments, which is part of what makes it highly unpredictable, and large sums of money. So we're talking billions of, you know, tens of billions of dollars here.
Those quarterly taxes were due last week, so the Treasury Department is trying to add up what came in. On the expense side of the ledger, there are plenty of payments the government makes regularly. Like in October, for example, about $75 billion will go to military pensions. But Michael Linden with the Center for American Progress says there are expenses the government just can't anticipate.
The unexpected is by definition unexpected. And a disaster, a flood, unforeseen military action.
Now, that would have to be pretty big, and it would have to last a long time. Strikes on Syria, say, probably wouldn't affect the calculation because something like that is baked into the Pentagon's budget. Allison Frazier is with the Heritage Foundation, and she says the same thing is true of FEMA's budget.
Well, you'd have to have something really, really major and unforeseen, like a Hurricane Katrina kind of thing,
when the government would have to mobilize a lot of resources quickly. Outside analysts have done their own calculations, and they predict those extraordinary measures won't work anymore at some point between October 18th and November 5th. June O'Neill used to head the Congressional Budget Office. She says the Treasury Department has a narrower estimate because they have access to more data.
They're not going to announce it to the world, you know, because it has so much political significance.
With apologies to Samuel Johnson, nothing focuses the mind like a deadline. Of course, in this case, no one can say for sure when that deadline is. In Washington, I'm David Gura for Marketplace.
And a zoo has banned visitors from wearing leopard print clothes. Where is this zoo? Well, not New Jersey, where such a ban would keep out too many potential visitors. It's Chessington World of Adventures in Britain, where zookeepers, according to the Daily Telegraph, have noted wildlife, quote, become puzzled when visitors wear the spots. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.